Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ezekiel chapter number 27. And if you remember from last week, we started in Ezekiel 26, and we were looking at a prophecy of Tyre. Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28 are actually all about Tyre. And honestly, these three chapters are extremely interesting chapters. I'm not going to say they're the most interesting chapters in Ezekiel, because Ezekiel has some pretty interesting chapters. But they're very interesting. If you remember last week, in chapter 26, we saw that that prediction or that prophecy of Alexander the Great. And we spent a lot of time kind of developing that and talking about that. In this chapter, what we find is we continue with the description of the destruction of Tyre. And then in chapter 28, we actually learn about, it's all about the devil, about Satan. It's one of the few chapters in Scripture that's devoted to Satan. And we're going to get into that next week, of course. But if you look at verse 1, it says this: "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now thou, son of man, take up a lamentation." Now, a lamentation is a passionate expression of grief. And that's really what this chapter is. It's a lamentation. Because in chapter 26, we learned about the destruction of Tyre. And if you remember, we learned about how there were several prophecies that nations were going to come like the waves of the sea, one after another. And we saw how that was fulfilled in history. And we saw how Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill people in the land. There was going to be daughters who were slain on the land, but then there would be another nation that would come and actually cross the sea to the island. And we saw the specific prophecy there of Alexander the Great, how he actually built a bridge and how that's detailed in Ezekiel 26. If you missed that, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. In this chapter, what we have is we have the destruction of Tyre as a picture of end times Babylon. And this chapter actually parallels end times Babylon very, very well. And it's we're going to spend some time just kind of developing that and learning about end times. So if you're interested in learning about end times and Babylon, this is a sermon for you. There are actually seven parallels between the destruction of Tyre and the destruction of end times Babylon. I'm going to give those to you. But before I do that, I want to just real quickly, as quickly as we can, I want to go through and give you a quick outline of the chapter in regards to its primary context, because it does parallel and picture end times Babylon, but it is about Tyre. There really was a nation called Tyre that was destroyed, and I want to explain that to you. Now, if you remember from last week, we learned about how Tyre was a city-state that was divided into two sections. They had a land area, and then they also had, which was called Old Tyre, then they had an island that was also part of the city, and that's what we learned about. Nebuchadnezzar took the land section, but he was not able to take the island. It wasn't until Alexander the Great was able to actually build a causeway and take the island, and we talked about that last week. Because they were on an island, and their primary skill was to be able to have ships and have a navy and things like that, in this passage, when God talks about the destruction of Tyre, he pictures it as a beautiful merchant ship that is shipwrecked. Actually, Ezekiel 27 is one of the most is often referred to as one of the most poetic parts of Scripture in regards to how Ezekiel developed this destruction. He's talking about something very ugly, the destruction of a nation, but he does it in a very poetic way. And let me just give you that outline real quick, and then we're going to jump into the pictures of end times Babylon in this chapter. But I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to take notes on the back of your course of the week. You got a place to write down things. What we see in this chapter is we see, number one, Tyre is described as a beautiful ship. Because of the fact that they were mariners, they were merchantmen, the nation entirely is described as a beautiful merchant ship. Notice verse 3. "And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate," that word means situated or fixed in a place. Notice, "O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea." So why are they situated at the entry of the sea? Because of the fact that they're an island. "Which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus." Notice what he says. "Thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty." The word perfect means complete. They are completely beautiful is what they're saying. There's nothing lacking. They've got everything they need. Verse 4, "Thy borders are in the midst of the sea." Again, why are their borders in the midst of the sea? Because they're an island. But God is going to describe them, and Ezekiel is going to describe them as a beautiful ship.
in the same way that their island was in the midst of the sea, he's going to describe them as a ship that's out in the midst of the sea. He says, verse 4, thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. So he starts describing them as a ship that's built. He said, your builders have perfected thee as beauty. Verse 5, they have made all thy shipboards a fir tree of cedar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make a mast for thee. What's a mast? A mast is a tall, upright post that's carrying a sail. Notice verse 6. Of the oaks of Bashan, they have made thine oars. What's an oar? An oar is a pole with a flat blade used to row or to steer a ship. Notice he says, they have made of the oaks of Bashan, they have made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches. Talking about where people sit on this ship. Of ivory brought out of the Isles of Chittim. Notice verse 7. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. So again, we already had the mast, but now he's talking about the sail. And you see how he's describing them as this beautiful ship. Blue and purple from the Isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners, talking about their sailors. Thy wise men of Tyrus that were in thee were thy pilots, talking about the person that operates the controls of this craft. The ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thy caulkers. This is someone who caulks or waterproofs the seams of the boat. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy the merchandise. Notice verse 10. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war. They hang their shield and helmets in thee. And this was a common practice during ancient times where militaries would have ships and they would put the shields of the soldiers on the sides of the ship so that they didn't have to actually have them in where the people were just to save some time. And God is describing them. Ezekiel is describing them as this beautiful ship. And he's using terminology that they would understand. He says, in thee, they set forth thy comeliness. The word comely means pleasing in appearance or attractive. So he's talking about this is an attractive ship. It's a beautiful ship. Look at verse 11. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy wall round about, and the Gammadims were in thy towers. They hang their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. So in verses 3 through 11, he describes them as this beautiful ship. He talks about the fact that they were built as a ship, that they brought this exquisite wood to build the frame of it, to put the mast. He talks about all these things. And then he talks about how this ship was used. He refers to it in verses 3 through 11 as a beautiful ship. And then in verses 12 through 25, and I'm going through this quickly just because I want to make sure you get this outline. But in verses 12 through 25, he describes this beautiful ship as a merchant of the world. Notice verse 12. He says, Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the kings of riches with silver, iron, tin, and lead. Notice the words. They traded in thy fares. So there's an emphasis here. In verses 3 through 11, the emphasis was on their beauty. In verses 12 through 25, the emphasis is on the fact that they trade or that they are involved in mercantile, that they are a merchant ship. Notice verse 13, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were thy merchants. Notice the words, they traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy markets. Notice verse 14, they of the house of Torgama traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horn of ivory and ebony. Notice verse 16. Syria was thy merchant. So notice, he's going through a list of other customers. Syria, Dedan, Torgama, Javan, Tubal. He's describing just nations and cities of their time. He says in verse 16, Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy markets, wheat, and minnith, and paenag, and honey, and oil, and balm. Look at verse 18. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of thy wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches and wine and helbon and white and wool. Notice verse 19. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied thy fairs. Bright iron, cassia, and calamus were in thy markets. And again, he's just emphasizing the fact that Tyre was the merchant of the world. Because of where they were located, where they were situated as an island, all of the ships of the world traveled through there, and this was the marketplace of the world. And their ships would take merchandise throughout the world. And he's describing them as this beautiful merchant ship. Notice verse 21. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes of chariots. That was verse 20. Verse 21. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. Notice, in these were thy merchants. Verse 22, the merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. Verse 23, Haran and Cana and Eden, the merchants of Sheba. Notice the last part of verse 23, thy merchant. Look at verse 24, these were thy merchants in all sorts of things. Look at the last part of verse 24. He says, among thy merchandise. Look at verse 25. The ships of Tarshish did sing to thee in thy markets. And again, emphasizing over and over and over again the fact that this was not only, that Tyre was not only a beautiful ship, but it was a busy ship. It was a successful ship. It was a merchant ship, and it was a merchant to the world. Now, in verses 26 and 28, and then also 32 through 34, Ezekiel describes this beautiful merchant ship as being shipwrecked. Notice verse 26. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind, and I don't have time to develop that. We'll have to do that study another time. But whenever you see that east wind, you'll find that phrase throughout Scripture a lot. You should pay attention to that. He says, the east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the sea. He said, you were like a beautiful merchant ship traveling around, but then the east wind came and has broken thee in the midst of the sea. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all of thy men of war that are in thee and in all thy company which is in the midst of thee shall fall into the midst of the sea. He's describing a shipwreck here. He's describing the fact that this boat's going to get broken and then everyone who's in it is going to fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin. Look at verse 28. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots. He's saying people are going to hear you from their houses crying as you're drowning in the midst of the sea. And then he says this in verses 29 through 31. He talks about the fact that the merchants of the world are going to mourn for this beautiful merchant shipwreck. Look at verse 29. And all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee and shall cry bitterly and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in ashes and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee and gird them with sackcloth and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up lamentation for thee and lament over thee. So I want you to understand the primary application of this chapter. What is it? It is Ezekiel bringing this poetic story of lamentation of the destruction of Tyre, and he describes it as a beautiful ship in verses 3 through 11, as a very successful merchant ship in verses 12 through 25, but it gets shipwrecked by God in verses 26 through 28, also verses 32 and 34. If you notice there in verse 32, at the end of the verse, it says, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? Look at verse 34. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas, in the depths of the water, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. And then in verses 29 and 31, he talks about the fact that the merchants are wailing and there's crying and they're bitter as a result of the sea. So that's the outline of this chapter. I wanted to just go through that quickly and make sure you got that and understood that. What I want you to notice and what we're going to do for the rest of our time tonight is I want to go through and show you some parallels between Tyre and end times Babylon. Now, if you're familiar with end times prophecy, and keep your place there in Ezekiel 27, that's our text for tonight. Go with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 18. We're going to be going back and forth a lot between Ezekiel and Revelation, so keep your place in Revelation so that we can get there quickly. But if you remember, there's a man coming. His name is the Antichrist, right? And he's going to unite the world under a one-world government. And he's going to unite the world under a one-world religion. And I'm not preaching about the Antichrist tonight. I don't have time to develop all of that. If you remember, though, the prophecy of the Antichrist He's often referred to as the beast. Daniel referred to him as a beast. And the book of Revelation refers to him as a beast. And the beast has to do with the governments that he's going to lead, the governments he's going to come from, and the government he's going to set up. Well, if you remember Revelation, we're told that a woman rideth the beast. Well, that woman is Babylon. And what Babylon is, it is the world power, the world power at the time of the events of the end times. And Babylon is going to be working alongside with the Antichrist to bring in this one world government. There has always been a Babylon or a nation with the spirit of Babylon on the earth. And again, I don't have time to develop this. You know, there's lots of sermons you can listen to on our website and our YouTube page, and I can give you direct you to some of those if you're interested. But if you remember, like in Daniel, he talked about the fact that there's these different nations, and they were all having this spirit of Babylon, this spirit of uniting the world. And of course, at Daniel's time, you had the actual nation of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. Then you had the Medo-Persian Empire. Then you had the Greek Empire. Then you had the Roman Empire. These were all empires that conquered the world, and these were all a continuation. If you study in Revelation, they're one continuation of the other, of the other, of the other. The Bible tells us at the end, there's going to be a Babylon that is the world power. And again, I don't have time to develop this, and I wish I could, but I believe that the end times Babylon is going to be the United States of America. And if you're interested in learning more about that, we've got documentaries in the back called Babylon USA that kind of explains what the Bible teaches about that. I also did a three-part series a few years ago called America and Bible Prophecy, where we went through and explained and taught all that, so you can find that on our website as well. When we're talking about end times Babylon, I believe we're talking about the USA. If you don't believe that, that's fine. But there is a nation that's going to work alongside with the Antichrist to bring in this one world government, this one world religion. That Babylon is going to be destroyed by God. And here in Ezekiel 27, we find seven parallels between the destruction of Tyre and the destruction of Babylon. So let me give this to you as quickly as we can tonight. I'm going to give you seven parallels as to how Tyre pictures the end times Babylon, and we can learn about end times Babylon as well. Number one, Tyre, like end times Babylon, was a merchant to the world. I mean, we just got done reading the verses, right? They were the merchant of the world. They were the merchant for Tarshish. They were the merchant for Javan. They were the merchant for Tubal. They were the merchant for Meshech. They were the merchant for the house of Torgama. They were the merchant for the men of Dedan. They were the merchant for Syria, for Judah, for Minith, for Painak, for Damascus, for Dan, for Dedan, for Arabia. I mean, we get this list. For Haran, for Cana, for Eden. They were the merchants to Sheba and Asher and Kilmac. We get this entire list of the people, the customers that Tyre had. And we also get a list of the merchandise that they had. Notice verse 12, Ezekiel 27, verse 12. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just notice the words, if you can find them. In verse 12, we're told the merchandise that they had. It says, Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches with, notice, silver, iron, tin, lead. In verse 13, it talks about the persons of men, meaning slaves. They were trading slaves. And vessels of brass. In verse 14, it talks about the fact that they were trading horses and horsemen and mules. In verse 15, at the end of the verse, it talks about the fact that they are bringing horns of ivory and ebony. In verse 16, it says the multitude of the wares. It says the emeralds, the purple, the broidered work, the fine linen, the coral, the agate. In verse 17, it talks about the wheat, the honey, the oil, the balm. In verse 18, it talks about the wares of thy making. It talks about the wine. It talks about the white wool. In verse 19, it talks about the bright iron, cassia and calamus. In verse 20, it talks about the clothes for chariots. In verse 21, it talks about the lambs and the rams and the goats. In verse 22, it talks about all spices and with all precious stones and gold. In verse 24, it says this, these were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes, embroidered work, and in chest of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchants. So when Tyre is destroyed, we're given this whole list of all of the nations they were selling to and a list of all of the things they were selling to. Well, here's what's interesting. When you go to Revelation chapter 18, we find the destruction of Babylon. Notice Revelation chapter 18 and look at verse 1 just to get a little bit of the context. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. It says this, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen." All right? This is end times Babylon. It's a nation, the term Babylon is just given to all of them. All of these one world governments are given the name Babylon. But this is the one at the time of the Antichrist. And this specifically is after it's destroyed. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. But I want you to notice verse 11. Skip down to verse 11 because in Revelation 18, Babylon is destroyed. But notice what we have in verse 11. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore," because Babylon is destroyed. Verse 12, "the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner of vessel of ivory and all manner of vessel of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits," verse 14, "of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and good are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." Here's what we learn about Tyre. It was the merchant of the world. It had we get this whole list of all of the merchandise that they were selling and they were buying. But what do we learn about Babylon? We get a similar list. Why? Because Babylon, end times Babylon, is going to be the consumer of the world. It's going to be the merchant of the world. All the ships are going to come here. They're going to sell. All the ships are going to go out of there. This is one reason we believe it's the United States of America, because nobody buys like the United States of America buys. I mean, you got ships coming from all over the world to sell us their trash, right? Sell us their garbage, and we just happily buy it up. You know, if you go around your house and start picking random things up and turning those things around, most of it's going to say made in China, made in Taiwan, made in Mexico, made in all over the world. Why? Because we are the merchant of the world. So the first parallel we see between Tyre and Babylon is we get this list of all of their merchandise. They're very covetous nations. They're nations that are all about merchandise and what they have and what they've bought and what they've owned. So we see that Tyre, like end times Babylon, was a merchant to the world. Let me give you a second parallel. Go back to Ezekiel 27. Keep your place there in Revelation 18. But let me say this. Here's a second parallel. Tyre, like end times Babylon, made the kings and merchants rich. So see, you say, well, I thought Tyre was just selling. No, they were buying and selling. Their trade made the kings of the earth rich. Notice Ezekiel 27, verse 33. "When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people," notice verse 33, "thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise." So see, Tyre was selling all this merchandise to all the world, but they were making the kings and the merchantmen rich. Here's what's interesting. Babylon, same thing. Go to Revelation 18. Look at verse number 3. Revelation 18 and verse 3. Remember, Revelation 18 is the destruction of Babylon. It says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." The "her" there is referring to end times Babylon. And notice, "the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So in Ezekiel 27:33, we're told, "Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise." In Revelation 18:3, we're told, "The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So what are the parallels between these two nations? Well, number one, Tyre, like end times Babylon, was a merchant of the world. Number two, Tyre, like end times Babylon, was making the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth rich. And you know what? The United States of America is making rich people richer. and merchants richer. And that's why we've got all the Bill Gates and all the, you know, all those, you know, the Warren Buffetts and the Rockefellers and the Carnegies or whatever, all of these people. Why? Because look, because the United States of America is making the merchants of the earth rich and making politicians rich and making the kings of the earth rich. Let me give you a third parallel. Go back to Ezekiel 18. Here's a third parallel. Tyre, like end times Babylon, was empowered by Satan. Now, here's what's interesting, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I told you to go to Ezekiel 27, but actually I need to go to Ezekiel 28, the next chapter. And we're going to spend all of next week studying Ezekiel 28, so I don't want to get too much into it. But I want you to just understand something, because remember, Ezekiel 26, 27, and 28, they're all about Tyre, right? Well, in Ezekiel 28, we are told who is actually running Tyre or Tyrus. Notice what it says, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation. This is Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, right? So we're talking about the leader of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Look at verse 13. Thou. Now who's the thou there? It's the king of Tyrus, right? It's the guy who's in charge and running Tyrus. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. You say, wait a minute, was the king of Tyrus in the garden of Eden? And again, we're going to get into this next week, but there's a section in this chapter where he's talking about the physical king of Tyrus, and then he transitions and he begins to talk about Satan, but he calls him the king of Tyrus. When he's talking about the physical guy, he calls him the prince of Tyrus. You say, well, why does he call Satan the king of Tyrus? You know, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, why would God call the king of Tyrus, call Satan the king of Tyrus? Here's why. Because it is Satan and his devils who are running these governments. Look, this is why you need to not be naive and get all excited about some politician. Oh, Donald Trump's going to save the world and George Bush is going to do this or whatever. Hey, let me tell you something. If they're leading Babylon, they're probably not good, all right? They're put there by Satan. You say, who's actually running the show at Tyrus? It's Satan. The king of Tyrus, he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Let me ask you this. Who's in the Garden of Eden? You ever read Genesis 1, 2, 3? Look, there's only three characters in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. So unless it's Adam and Eve, okay? He says, thou hast been in Eden, the Garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. Okay, so it's not Adam and Eve. Satan was an angelic being. Lucifer was an angelic being. He rebelled against God. And God says, you, king of Tyrus, were in Eden, and you are the anointed cherub. Why does God say that in Ezekiel 28? Here's why he says that, because Tyrus, who was the merchant of the world, who was making the kings and the merchants of the earth rich, was actually being run by Satan. Go to Revelation 13. Here's what's interesting about Babylon, USA. End times Babylon. It's being run by Satan. Now, you know that already, but let's look at it in Scripture. Revelation 13 and verse 1. You don't have to look around very hard to find out who's running the show around here. Revelation 13:1 says this, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Revelation 13:1. Remember, the beast is the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is the man as the mouth of a lion, and you can run the cross references back to Daniel, and he's talking about the similar nations there. Notice what it says at the end of verse 2. And the dragon. Now, who's the dragon? It's the serpent. It's Satan. I was very clear about that. You can study that out later. And the dragon gave him, gave who? The Antichrist, his power and his seat and great authority. So according to Revelation 13, who is giving the Antichrist his power? It is the dragon. It's Satan. Look at verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. All right? Now remember, the woman rideth the beast. But Babylon is working with the beast. You say, why? Because it's really Satan who's running the show. Well, who's running the show down at Tyre or at Tyrus? Who was actually the king that was running it spiritually? Well, it was Satan. And these are two things that these nations have in common. Go back to Ezekiel 27. We're looking at parallels between Tyre and end times Babylon. One is that they are the merchants of the world. One is that they make the kings and the merchants of the earth rich. One is that they're both empowered by Satan. Here's number four. Tyre, like end times Babylon, glorified herself. Notice verse 3, Ezekiel 27 and verse number 3. And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people of for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, notice what Tyrus said, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. So Tyrus was saying of herself, I am of perfect beauty. She was glorifying herself, bringing glory to herself. Go to Revelation 18. Look at verse 7. Remember, Revelation 18 is the destruction of Babylon. Notice what Revelation tells us about Babylon. Revelation 18 says, how much she hath glorified herself. Babylon is known for glorifying herself. Well, Tyre was known by going around and saying that I am of perfect beauty. You know, and you say, well, how is this? You know, here's what end times Babylon was going around doing. It'd go around and get around a bunch of foreigners and it'd start yelling, USA, USA, right? Just glorifying herself. Look, America's constantly just glorifying itself. We're constantly talking and bragging about how great things are. I'm thankful for everything that we have around here. But look, this is a nation that is filled with pride. This is a nation that is filled with materialism, with merchandise. This is a nation that is filled with the influence of Satan. It is a nation that's going to be used by the Antichrist to bring the one world government, the one world religion. And both of these locations are glorifying themselves. Tyre is saying, I am of perfect beauty. Babylon is saying how much she hath, the Bible says about her, how much she hath glorified herself. Now go to Revelation 19. You're there in Revelation 18? Let me show you something in Revelation 19. So I'm giving you these parallels, right? There's seven of them. What are they? Number one, Tyre, like end times Babylon, was a merchant of the world. Number two, Tyre, like end times Babylon, made the kings of the earth rich. Number three, Tyre, like end times Babylon, was empowered by Satan. Number four, Tyre, like end times Babylon, glorified herself. Number five, I want you to notice what kind of kicks off the destruction of Babylon. What is it that basically causes Babylon to be destroyed? Now, I don't have time to get into all of the details about how that happens. I believe it's the Antichrist who actually destroys Babylon. But the Antichrist does it, and these events are kind of set up, or they're set off because of the coming of a king. Are you there in Revelation 19? Look at verse number 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now this is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming down on a white horse, and it gives us all the description of all the things he's going to do. Skip down to verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Okay, so what is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes down on the white horse in end times? Notice, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, you probably heard that before, right? We often refer to Jesus. He's a king. He's not just a king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord. He's not just the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords, all right? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. End times Babylon gets destroyed in conjunction with, or as a result of, or in the same process of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming down to earth, and he's going to be victorious over the Antichrist, and Babylon will be destroyed. Here's what's interesting. Go back to Ezekiel 26. Now, we're in Ezekiel 27 right now, and I spent the whole week last week preaching out of Ezekiel 26. There was one thing in Ezekiel 26 that I purposely just bypassed, and I didn't spend any time talking about it last week because I wanted to talk about it this week. And last week, we had enough to talk about when we were learning about the different prophecies and about Alexander the Great and all that. Here's what's interesting in Ezekiel 26, which maybe you caught this last week, or maybe you didn't, I don't know. Look at verse 7. when Tyre gets destroyed, it's as a result of a king coming. But notice how the king is described, Ezekiel 26, verse 7. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Notice how he's referred to, a king of kings, from the north, with horses, and with chariots, and with horsemen, and companies, and much people. When Tyre is destroyed, it is destroyed. Because remember, who is Nebuchadnezzar coming to destroy? He's coming to destroy Judah. He's coming to destroy Israel. But while he's there, because remember, we've been learning about this through Ezekiel. While he's destroying Judah, Tyre is saying, aha, great, I'm glad that Judah's been destroyed. So then God says, oh, really? Well, while I'm here, I'll get Nebuchadnezzar to turn his attention on you, and I'll go ahead and destroy you too. Well, when Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys Tyre, he's referred to as a king of kings. Well, when end times Babylon is destroyed, it's destroyed as a result as the king of kings and lord of lords coming down to the earth. Here's what's really interesting about Nebuchadnezzar being called king of kings. Here Nebuchadnezzar is playing a type. He is picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, he's not only called a king of kings, but he's called from the north, right? So because where is Babylon in comparison to Tyre? He's coming from the north, south. So he's referred to as a king of kings coming from the north. Go to Psalm 75. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 75. I want you to notice what the Bible, where does the Bible tell us that our king of kings and lord of lords, where does he reside? Psalm 75, look at verse 6. Psalm 75, open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll fall in Psalm. Psalm 75, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. All right? So here we're talking about the fact that kings get promoted, the fact that kings are able to take on authority. He says that promotion, it doesn't come from the east, it doesn't come from the west, it doesn't come from the south. Where does it come from? Verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So he says, look, when a king is promoted, it's because God. It's because God put one down. It's because God put one up. It says, God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. So look, if promotion doesn't come from the east, doesn't come from the west, doesn't come from the south, but it comes from God, then where's God? He's in the north. And of course, that's referring to the fact that God's in heaven. He's talking about the fact that he's up. But Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as the king of kings from the north. And he comes to destroy Tyre, which pictures Babylon, who comes and gets destroyed when the king of kings and lord of lords comes from the north. Go back to Ezekiel 27. Let me give you a sixth one. We're learning about the parallels between Tyre and end times Babylon. Here's number six. Tyre, like end times Babylon, is mourned by the merchants of the world. Notice verse 29. Ezekiel 27, verse 29. And all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea. So now we're not talking about Tyre as the beautiful ship, but we're talking about all the other merchants, all the other mariners, all the other pilots of the sea, shall come down from their ships, they shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing, and in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee and lament over thee. So when this ship, when Tyre, this beautiful merchant ship, when it goes down, when it's shipwrecked, the Bible tells us that all the other merchants, they start crying. I mean, they're really weeping. They cry bitterly. They make themselves bald. They take sackcloth. They weep bitterly, bitter wailing, lamentations. These are the words that are being used. Go back to Revelation 18. What happens when Babylon is destroyed? Babylon the Great has fallen, right? Revelation 18, look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, notice what the kings of the earth do when Babylon, end times Babylon is destroyed, shall bewail her and lament for her. When they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Why are they weeping and mourning? Are they weeping because they love her? Are they weeping because their hearts are broken over the fact that so many people have been destroyed? No, here's why they're weeping and mourning. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The Chinese are like, who's going to buy our crap? I mean, they're like, we got all these boats filled with stuff from Taiwan, and now Babylon's been destroyed. Who's going to buy our garbage? Who's going to buy? And they're weeping, they're wailing over the fact that Babylon is destroyed. But you know what? When Tyre, the merchant of the world, was destroyed, the merchants did the same thing. They wept. They wailed. So they're like, oh, man, there goes our business. Oh, man, there goes our way of life. Look at verse 18, Revelation 18, verse 15. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Look at verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Let me give you one more. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 27. We're talking about the parallels, right? What are they? Tyre, like end times Babylon, was a merchant to the world. Tyre, like end times Babylon, made the kings and the merchants of the earth rich. Tyre, like end times Babylon, was empowered by Satan. Tyre, like end times Babylon, glorified herself. Tyre, like end times Babylon, was destroyed by the coming of a king of kings. Tyre, like end times Babylon, was mourned by the merchants of the earth. Here's the last one, number 7. Tyre, like end times Babylon, will never be restored. Are you there in Ezekiel 27? Look at verse 36. Well, look at verse 35, just to get a little bit of the context. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall be any more. God said, when I destroy Tyre, you are never going. Have you heard much from Tyre lately? I mean, have you heard about any news coming out from Tyre? And we realize that location is there, but all we know about Tyre is from the Word of God or ruins that are excavated and, historians going back. But we don't hear about Tyre anymore. Why? Because God said, when I destroy Tyre, never shall be anymore. He said, it's never going to be anymore. Well, here's what's interesting. Babylon is the exact same way. Go to Revelation 18. Revelation chapter 18. Look at verse 21. Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 21. Revelation 18:21 says, and a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. So it's really interesting, you know, as you go through and you kind of look at these parallels, you see that Tyre was used as a picture of end times Babylon and how God is going to destroy end times Babylon. And you say, wait, Pastor, that's really interesting. I got a lot of good notes there. You know, what can we learn from that? Let me just give you one quick application. We'll be done. Quit worrying so much. I mean, God not only knows exactly what he's going to do and how he's going to end this world and bring all of the madness and wickedness. Not only does God know what he's going to do, he knows it so well that he can write it in a book called the Book of Revelation. But then he also knows it so well that he's even practicing it. He's playing it out. He's destroying Tyrus, and he's like, yeah, this is going to be just like Babylon. I need a king of kings. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he needs to come from the north. Perfect. Go destroy him. He's practicing it. He's playing it out. Here's all I'm telling you. We as Christians, man, we worry so much about everything. I mean, jobs and finances and this and that, and the microwave's going to kill you, and McDonald's is going to kill you. And look, I'm not saying you should eat at McDonald's. Here's all I'm saying. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. He can orchestrate whatever. Look, at the end of the day, we win. The God who created this universe has controlled everything that's going to happen, to the point where he even plays it out with a little island you've never heard of called Tyrus. So you know what? Just quit worrying. What are we going to do when Donald Trump doesn't get elected next time, and then maybe Hillary Clinton? What are we going to do? You know what? Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He put it down one and setteth up another. Amen. At the end of the day, God, look, everything that happens in this world is filtered through God. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not saying God does it all, but it's filtered through God. Nothing catches God by surprise. So quit worrying so much. Amen. And realize that we are on the winning side. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this great study, Lord, a real interesting study of Tyrus and how it parallels end times Babylon. And what it really shows us, Lord, is just how much in control you are. How when you give a prophecy and you tell us that something's going to go down in a certain way, you can make that happen. And you can make it happen whenever and wherever you want. You can even just do a dress rehearsal with a little island called Tyrus. And Lord, we love you and we stand amazed at you. We stand in awe of you and of your power. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just trust you, not only with our salvation, but in every area of our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.